This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe Chairman Harold Frazier grew up in Whitehorse, and he's blessed with one daughter and two sons and one grandchild, and he graduated from high school in Eagle Butte. In 2002, though, Harold was elected at large as the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribal Chairman, and amazingly, during his first chairmanship, he was elected as the Great Plains Area Vice President of the National Congress for American Indians. Amazing. Following that stint as tribal chairman, he was employed as a program specialist for the Black Hills Center for American Indian Health for over 8 years, working there as a program specialist. He's also served on the Tyosapi Topa School Board between the years 2012 and 2014. And in 2012, this is incredible, he's got more stamina than I would, he received his associate's degree in general business and his bachelor's degree in business administration from the Oglala Lakota College. And in December 2014, Chairman Frazier was reelected by his people, the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, for his second executive term. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great honor to hear the State of the Tribes address presented by Chairman Harold Frazier. Please welcome the chairman.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor, for the introduction. You know, one of the sad things in life is racism. And it's not just in one particular place. It's in all of this world. I grew up with my parents in Whitehorse. And they were fluent Lakota speakers. And my grandpa also lived with us. And he was a fluent speaker. When I was about 20 years old, I went to a community. And I heard this word, Ayaska. And I was told that it meant half-breed. So when I got home, I told my mom, I said, hey, I heard a new word I never heard before. I can't remember how to say it, but it means half-breed. So she tried four or five different ways how to say it, but it wasn't the way I heard it. But the point of this is I was raised not to see color, not to see race of anybody. I was raised to see a man or a woman. We were created as one people to live on these lands and make a life for our families, friends, and neighbors. We are born pure of heart. How we treat each other is taught and learned. It is time we relearn to treat each other with the respect that is deserved rather than with hatred and racism. Only then can we truly become nations working together for the health and welfare of our people. I applaud Governor Dugard for taking time and coming out to all of our reservations in South Dakota and visiting with us. And I applaud you, the state legislatures, for allowing me, the Lakota people, time to address you today. We know who we are and where we come from. Our ancestors came from the Black Hills out of Wind Cave. Our creation stories tells us these things. That's why we hold Baja Sapa, the Black Hills, sacred. We are part of the seven council fires, who are the Dakota, Nakota, and Lakota people. The only thing different is our language. We speak with different dialects, with an L, a D, and an N. We all pray to the same Creator. We all belong to the sacred white buffalo calf pipe. In the western part of our state, where I am from, that is where the Titoma Oyate live, the Teton Sioux. There are seven bands of the Teton Sioux. Four of them are on the Cheyenne River Sioux Indian Reservation: the Ohenupa, Sihasapa, Minikoju, and Itazapcho. In Standing Rock, the Hunkpapa people live there, Rosebuds, Sishungu people, and in Pine Ridge, the Ogallalas. I come from the Itazapcho band. South Dakota is our homeland. The whole of western South Dakota and our Sioux reservations, East River, were reserved as our permanent homes. These lands were set aside for the absolute and undisturbed use of our people by our chiefs and the United States in our treaties. In our treaties, we reserved our original inherent right to self-government, self-determination for our people in our homelands. We are men and women, where all men and women are created equal. We have a right to freedom and liberty in our own lands. Our rights to freedom and liberty are natural, inalienable rights, just as your rights are. According to data collected by the University of Wisconsin Population Health Institute, four of the deadliest counties in the United States are here in South Dakota: Shannon County, Todd County, Dewey County, and Corson County. When Tesawi brought our chinupa to us, the white buffalo calf woman brought our pipe. It was brought into given to us for good health, mentally and physically. That's why we in Indian Country make health care a priority, and so should you. We have been in a health crisis. I look back, it probably began in 1889, when our medicine and our medicine people were taken away from us and we were put on reservations. It was replaced with the Indian Health Service, who has continually failed our people. Right now, two of our reservation hospitals are faced with closure, down in Rosebud and in Pine Ridge. Several years back, I recall when the VA hospitals were having trouble. And I remember reading in the paper a quote from former Governor Rounds. And I totally agree with him. Governments cannot run a healthcare facility. Many of us in our area are looking at going compact, taking over our facilities, so we could provide better healthcare for our people and for our children. Suicide is a huge epidemic in our reservations. One of the things I'm a firmly believer in is prayer. I don't care what case law says. We need prayer in our lives, in our functions, in our institutions. And it doesn't matter how we pray, whether it's with the pipe, Catholic, Protestant, it doesn't matter. Prayer is the most important thing to be a healthy person, to be a healthy society. That's why our tribal council passed a resolution to require our schools on a reservation to begin with prayer. We're also looking at establishing safe houses for our children, places where they could go to feel safe. We have a lot of high alcoholism, abuse on our reservations, and many times our children don't feel safe. So that's the things we are looking at doing. I've been meeting with kids this past summer, high school kids, young adults, finding out why suicide's happening. Why are we using drugs? The things they say, because of boredom and coping with life. When I asked them, when you have trouble dealing with life, do you talk to your parents? They said no. Well, who do you talk to? Our friends, grandmas, aunties is who we talk to. How do we help our children? How do we give them the coping skills that they need to believe life is worth living? Our children have told me that they want to learn from their own people. They want healing that is more traditional to our culture. We need our elders here to give us guidance and to teach us how to cope in our own ways. We are glad that the state is wanting to expand Medicaid so that our children and elders can have more access care. We thank Governor Dugard for reaching out and working with us tribes. Because going back to what the children are saying, we need to ensure that there's peer-to-peer counseling in this new plan. Many of our children don't want to open up to a non-Indian, to a stranger. Instead, they feel comfortable talking, like they said, with a friend, a grandma, or an auntie. So we should be allowed to bill and collect Medicaid. Because we live in high poverty areas on all of our reservations. One of the biggest problems that I face today is meth. It is something that is a new drug that is harming a lot of our people. Not just on reservations, not just in South Dakota, but throughout America. We are looking at addressing three ways how to address meth is how we're working towards to addressing this problem. Legally, treatment, and prevention. We are working to strengthen our courts, our police, and our laws. We are actively recruiting law-trained lawyers, law-trained prosecutors, court personnel. We're looking at creative ways because of our low funding to build and establish a strong police force. We're also working with other agencies to stop the dealers and the suppliers from bringing our drugs into our homes. The Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe is the first tribe in South Dakota to pass a resolution of banishment. We will banish any people who are convicted in federal, tribal, or state courts in manufacturing, trafficking, or dealing meth, drugs. We need you to expand your police training facilities. This past spring, I went into our police department. And there was a full uniform, a police officer had full uniform, gun and badge, sitting there answering a phone like a secretary. I said, why are you doing that? Because I'm not certified. So I immediately started getting on a phone, trying to find out why they're not certified. Through the Bureau of Indian Affairs, they have a training facility in Artesia, New Mexico. When I called down there, they said they had no openings until January 2016. We also used the state facilities. They had no openings until August 2016. So what do we do? Where is the safety for our people? Our tribal council on Cheyenne River set aside $135,000 in our general fund. And one of the things we discussed was perhaps hiring our own peace officer with our own money, do our own training. And when I met with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, I asked them, if our tribal police officers make arrests, do an investigation, get it into federal court, will you honor and support our work? They said no. I said, why not? Because they're not trained in our facility. So that is an issue that our chairmen, the Great Plains Tribal Chairman Association, passed to establish our own training facilities. So that's something that we'll be working forward. On treatment, one of the things I found in really working, trying to figure out how to help our people get off meth, if someone is going to be truly treated and fixed from this disease, this drug, it's going to be a minimum of 2 years. And that's a very long time. There's a shortage of a lot of treatment centers. So that's something that I feel that we need to start working towards, bringing more treatment facilities into our state, into our reservations. We have some of the worst roads in the country. And I met with the Zeebaugh County Commissioners the other day before I came. And they are severely underfunded. So I ask you to provide more funding for our county roads. Not just Zeebaugh County, but all of our county roads in Indian Country. This April, we had Tribal Council. One of the things I wanted to do was take our government out to the people. So we started having Tribal Council out in our communities. And in April, we went down to Whitehorse, my hometown. And there's a county road that runs right through it. And we laughed because the councilman, Bob Chasenock, he said, when I started on that road, he said, felt like I was shooting a machine gun. There is so much bumps on that road that it truly is. It's like shooting a machine gun. But we drive it every day. We live it every day. And that's what gets us by many of times, is humor. If we don't have that humor, you know, then we have a sense of hopelessness. I also ask that you make bus routes on county roads a priority in your state improvement plan. Put Zeebaugh County Route 1 on the state's priority. Zeebaugh County is the poorest county in the nation, according to a study I've seen. And Zeebaugh County encompasses half of Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. And if we continue to look at that study, you'll find that probably majority of the poorest counties in the United States are in South Dakota and are on reservations. In order to achieve economic development, we must have good infrastructure. And we want economic development. We want jobs on our reservations. We need to develop our resources to create jobs for our people through agriculture, tourism, manufacturing, and services. The statewide unemployment rate is less than 4%. On our reservations, our rates are 80% or higher. So we ask you, the state, to be our partner in economic development. Because we all live together in South Dakota. When we create new jobs, everyone benefits. And together, I know we can do more. Once a year, as tribes, we go to Washington, D.C., to lobby the federal government in hoping we could get more funding. I was chairman 8 years ago. And last year, I looked at our funding for our ICWA program. And I laughed. 12 years ago, we received $80,000 a year. Today, we still receive $80,000. So when we go to Washington, we ask that you could support our appropriation requests. Because every dollar that comes to our reservation, it comes to this state. So it's important that we work together in trying to get more resources from the federal government. We are taxpayers too. We pay every tax that mainstream America pays, except property tax. But there's a downside to that. We can't use our lands, our homes, as collateral to get a mortgage, to start a business, or even just to improve our lives. I ask that you ask yourselves how your proposed laws, your decisions, will impact the Indian people in South Dakota before you cast your vote. Pass laws that will not only benefit a group of people, but that will benefit all of us that live in South Dakota. And as President Steele said, in our culture, before the day begins and as it ends, we always begin and we end with a prayer. So at this time, I would like to close my talk with a prayer song. Thank you for your time.